most people fear in life is not running out of time or running out of money, but simply running into rejection. Now, I'm not talking about the big dramatic failures. I'm talking about the little no's, the ones that sound so harmless on paper, but in real life, feel like a door slamming in your face. The ones that echo a little louder in the quiet moments, reminding you of every risk you didn't take and every idea you never shared. It's a curious thing, isn't it? Most people walk around believing rejection is some sort of final judgment, as if one person's opinion is the verdict on their entire future. The truth is, rejection isn't fatal. It might sting for a moment, but it won't break you. The only thing that can break you is giving up the chance to try again. But here's where it gets interesting. The fear of no does more damage than no itself. I've watched talented people, sharp minds, big dreamers, all shrink from the simple risk of someone disagreeing with them. They hold their words back. They keep their talents hidden. And in doing so, they rob the world of what they could offer. Opportunity doesn't slip through your fingers because someone told you no. It slips away when you decide you're not willing to hear it. So what's the solution? Do we try to get rid of rejection? Impossible. You can't eliminate rejection any more than you can stop the sun from setting. If you set out on the road to success, you will run into closed doors. You'll run into doubters, skeptics, and even a few critics who seem to enjoy telling you what you can't do. If you're waiting for a life with no rejection, you'll be waiting a long, long time. But, and this is important, you can outgrow your sensitivity to it. That's the shift. You don't change the world outside, you change the world inside. When rejection comes knocking, don't treat it like a monster under the bed. Treat it like a teacher, sometimes a tough one, sometimes a little rude, but always there with a lesson. You see, the only way to make rejection less painful is to change your perspective. It's a numbers game, and every no puts you closer to a yes. You're not collecting scars, you're collecting experiences. Every no you survive adds another layer of resilience. After a while, you start to realize you can take it. You're still here. You're stronger than you thought. The wall you feared was really just a speed bump. Now, if you really think about it, what's the worst that can happen? Someone says no, and life goes on. The sun comes up, the bills still need to be paid, and the world keeps turning. What matters isn't what you hear, it's what you do next. The great advantage of understanding this is that the power comes back into your hands. No one else holds it. Not the critic, not the customer, not the stranger in the crowd. Just you, your attitude, and your willingness to keep showing up. So next time you feel that knot in your stomach, that cold hesitation right before you speak up, remind yourself, rejection is not the end of the story. It's just a chapter. You're the one holding the pen. Now let's get down to the heart of it, belief. You can't sell what you don't believe in. I'm talking about yourself, your ideas, your talents. Before you try to convince anybody else, you have to sell yourself to yourself. That's where it starts. Confidence always precedes persuasion. Think back. Have you ever met someone who could talk a blue streak, say all the right words, but you just didn't feel convinced? Maybe their information was correct, maybe their product was good, but something was missing. What was it? Conviction. Real belief. You can't fake it for long, not in front of people who are paying attention. When you're truly sold, your energy changes. Your words might be simple, but your certainty is unmistakable. You see, belief is contagious. People can catch it from you. The world listens less to your words and more to your tone, your posture, your eyes when you speak. If you don't believe in your own worth, you can't expect the world to see it either. When you speak from deep conviction, you give others permission to believe too. That's why it's so important to build your belief before you ever try to sell. Now, how do you get there? You start by taking inventory of your own value. Ask yourself, what skills do I really have? What experiences have I gathered that others might find useful? Where have I solved problems that most people shy away from? See, it's easy to focus on what you lack. The world is full of reminders about what you can't do, what you don't have, and where you don't measure up. But I promise you, there's value inside you that you've overlooked. Sometimes you just need to slow down, take a breath, and acknowledge it. This isn't about arrogance. It's about honest self-appraisal. You don't have to be the best in the world, just the best at being you. Your unique combination of skills, values, and life experience is unmatched. When you start to recognize that, something shifts inside. The next time you introduce yourself, the next time you talk about your work, people notice you're standing on solid ground. And here's a little secret. No one will ever be more convinced than you are. That's why preparation matters. You want to build belief? Put in the work. Study your craft. Hone your skills. Understand your product. The deeper your knowledge, the stronger your conviction. That quiet confidence draws people in. Remember, people buy certainty. If you're not sure, why should they be? Don't wait for someone else to give you permission to believe in yourself. That's your job. The minute you take it seriously, the game changes. People feel your sincerity. They sense your mission. That's when things start to happen. So before you ask anyone else to believe in you, stop and ask yourself, am I convinced? Do I believe in my abilities, my purpose, my value? If the answer is shaky, go back and do the work until it's solid. Because once you're sold, you become irresistible. Not because of flash, but because of substance. Not because of noise, but because of conviction. Here's what else you have to take a look at. Presentation. I learned early in life that people buy your energy before they ever buy your information. You can have the best product in the world, the most brilliant idea. But if you present it with low energy, uncertainty, or hesitation, the world walks right past. It's not enough to know your product. You have to master your presentation, how you walk, how you talk, how you make people feel. Think about the best conversations you've ever had. What made them memorable? It probably wasn't just the facts being exchanged. It was the way the other person made you feel. Alive, interested, important. That's what a great presentation does. It lifts people up. It draws them in. People want to feel that you're excited, not just about what you're offering, but about who you're becoming in the process. Now, you don't have to be a circus act. You don't have to bounce off the walls or use fancy tricks, but you do need to be present. When you stand up to share your idea, you want to bring your full attention. Let your tone be clear and enthusiastic. Stand tall. Make eye contact. When your body is aligned with your words, people trust you more. Sincerity, real sincerity, travels farther than cleverness. I remember in my early days, I used to worry so much about having the perfect words, the flawless pitch. What I discovered is, people can forgive a stumble, but they can't forgive indifference. They'd rather have someone speak from the heart, a little rough around the edges, than listen to a cold, rehearsed script. When you care about what you're saying, it shows. When you care about the person you're talking to, it shows even more. Enthusiasm is a force multiplier. It turns average ideas into compelling ones. But don't confuse enthusiasm with volume. It's not about being loud. It's about being real, about letting people feel that you believe in what you're doing. There's a certain music to your words when you mean what you say, and people pick up on that. So, how do you master your presentation? Practice. There's no shortcut. Get comfortable talking about your story, your offer, your vision. Stand in front of the mirror, record yourself, gather a few friends, whatever it takes. Every time you share, you polish the edges a little more. The more you practice, the more natural it feels. That's how you make it unforced, by doing it again and again until it flows. Don't forget, your presence is your product. Before people decide on the details, they decide on you. They ask themselves, is this person for real? Do I trust them? Do I want to listen? Your job is to make the answer yes before you ever get to the facts and figures. Because when your presence speaks louder than your pitch, you're halfway to a sale already. Clarity, enthusiasm, sincerity, these are the building blocks. If you bring those, you won't have to chase people down. They'll lean in, wanting to hear more. Master your presentation, and you won't just sell products. You'll sell possibility. Now, I want to talk about the word nobody likes to hear. No. That little word has sent more people home than any storm, any setback, any shortage of money or talent. But let me ask you something. What if you could treat no, not as a defeat, but as feedback? What if, instead of shrinking from it, you could learn from it, even welcome it as part of the process? See, most people take rejection personally. Someone says no to their idea, their offer, or even just their invitation to connect, and suddenly it feels like a personal attack. The heart races, the face gets hot, and the mind starts inventing stories. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I shouldn't have tried. Maybe I should just stay quiet next time. But here's the truth. Rejection is just information. It's the marketplace speaking back to you. And information, even uncomfortable information, is valuable. Professionals handle no differently than amateurs. Amateurs absorb it, let it eat at their self-worth, and carry it around like a heavy stone. Professionals analyze it. They want to know, why did I get that answer? Was it my timing? Was it something in my wording? Did I misunderstand the needs of my audience? Each no becomes a clue, a bit of data to refine the approach. Think about it. What if no just meant not yet? What if it meant I need more information, or I'm not ready right now? If you start to see no as a doorway instead of a wall, the whole world opens up. Every time someone turns you down, ask yourself, what can I learn here? How can I adjust my message? Where could I improve my timing, my listening, or even my enthusiasm? It's a little shift, but it changes everything. Now, that doesn't mean you won't feel the sting. We're human, and nobody enjoys being turned away. But if you want to grow, you've got to trade sensitivity for curiosity. Instead of letting no make you smaller, let it make you sharper. The only difference between those who succeed and those who give up is the ability to get back up, dust themselves off, and ask, what's next? One of the greatest skills in life is learning not to personalize rejection. The no is almost never about you. It's about the moment, the mood, the circumstances of the person you're talking to. Maybe they just paid a big bill. Maybe they had a long day. Maybe your offer just needs a little fine-tuning. But unless you ask, unless you keep coming back, you'll never know. So here's what I suggest. Start treating every no as a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. The more you hear it, the less it hurts, and the more you learn. Pretty soon you'll look back and realize you've built a path to success. One no at a time. Reframe it. Say to yourself, that wasn't a rejection, it was just a redirection. The answer wasn't no forever, just no for now. The marketplace rewards those who keep showing up, those who can hear no 100 times and still show up with a smile, ready to ask again, ready to serve better, ready to learn. Remember, every no brings you closer to a yes. It's just feedback. And if you're willing to listen, it will make you better than you ever thought possible. Now here's what changes the whole game: creating value. You see, when you focus on solving real problems, you shift from selling to serving. There's a world of difference between trying to convince someone to buy and simply showing them how you can help. The first approach feels like pressure. The second, that feels like relief. Here's what I discovered. When you become valuable enough, your reputation does most of the talking. You don't have to shout about your abilities. Word gets around. People start to mention your name when you're not in the room. That's the level you want to reach. Not chasing opportunities, but attracting them. Now ask yourself, what problem do I solve? How do I make life easier, richer, or more meaningful for someone else? When you put your energy there, you stop worrying so much about rejection. You get busy making a difference. And people notice, they can't help it. We're all drawn to those who genuinely want to help us win. The mistake many make is believing that selling is about slick words or clever tricks. But the real secret is value. When you offer something that truly matters, when you stand behind it with pride, people sense it. They feel safer with you. They trust you. And when trust shows up, resistance melts away. I remember working with people who thought success was about pushing harder. They'd memorize every script, rehearse every rebuttal. But you can only push so long before people start pushing back. But when you focus on value, something remarkable happens. The conversation changes. People lean in. They ask questions. They want to be part of what you're building, not just buy what you're selling. Start thinking like a problem solver, not just a promoter. When you sit down with someone, listen closely. Find out what keeps them up at night. Dig for the real needs, the real challenges. Sometimes what they think they need and what they truly need are two different things. Your job is to bridge that gap. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. Value is built, not declared. You become known for the way you follow up, the way you go the extra mile, the way you treat people when no one's watching. And over time, your reputation grows. People say, if you want it done right, call that person. If you need help, talk to them. That's when doors open for you, sometimes before you even arrive. Here's the beauty. When your focus is on value, you stop fearing rejection so much. You know what you offer is worthwhile, and you're proud to share it. If someone says no, that's fine. Maybe you're not the answer for them today, but you'll keep looking for someone you can help tomorrow. The marketplace is always looking for people who bring solutions, not just sales. If you become the person who shows up with answers, not just products, you become indispensable. The goal is to become so valuable that people feel lucky to work with you. When you reach that point, selling takes care of itself. That's when your value sells you long before you ever walk in the room. And here's one of the most underrated words in the language of success: consistency. People chase motivation, inspiration, even luck. But let me tell you, nothing replaces consistency. It's the steady, repeated action that builds muscle, mental, emotional, and even spiritual muscle. Now here's the truth. Courage doesn't appear out of thin air. It's not something you can buy at the store or borrow from a friend. Courage is built one conversation at a time, one attempt after another. every time you put yourself out there, every time you speak up when you'd rather stay silent, every time you face the possibility of rejection and go ahead anyway, you add another brick to your foundation. That's how confidence is built. Not by wishing for it, but by working for it. Think of it like learning to ride a bicycle. The first few times you wobble, you fall, you wonder if you'll ever get it right. But with each ride, the fear shrinks and the skill grows. The only way to make that shift permanent is through repetition. Do it often enough, and what once felt terrifying becomes second nature. The fear is still there, maybe, but it no longer has the final say. In business, in relationships, in life, it's the same. You don't overcome fear by waiting for it to disappear. You overcome fear by proving to yourself through action that you can handle whatever comes. Each presentation, each call, each new introduction is another chance to train your mind. You learn that a no won't stop you, that a rough day won't define you, and that persistence is the great equalizer. Most people give up too soon. They try something once, maybe twice, and when it doesn't go perfectly, they fold. They let one awkward moment become the end of the story. But those who stay the course, who show up day after day, are the ones who outlast their doubts. The truth is, repetition is the mother of skill. The more you do a thing, the less you fear it. Pretty soon, confidence moves in where fear used to live. Let me ask you, how many times have you held back because you thought you weren't ready? The reality is, you get ready by doing. Every real achievement starts with a small, sometimes shaky step forward. And the more steps you take, the steadier you become. What used to scare you now becomes routine. The conversation that once made your palms sweat is just another chance to connect. The opportunity that felt out of reach now seems within your grasp. Consistency turns mountains into molehills. You stop being intimidated by the process because you're living in it every day. And that's where true confidence comes from. Not just knowing you can do it, but knowing you have done it over and over again. So stay the course. Show up when it's easy and when it's not. Let courage become your habit. Because the only way to outgrow fear is to keep moving through it again and again until what once stopped you becomes just another part of your story. And one day you'll get what so many people overlook when they're trapped in the fear of rejection, the reward. Every sale, every opportunity, every new relationship begins with selling yourself first, not just to others, but to yourself. Your mindset, your resilience, your sense of worth, these are the foundation stones. Without them, nothing stands for long. You see, the moment you stop letting rejection define you, something magical happens. The world doesn't just open up, it invites you in. It's as if doors you never saw before suddenly swing wide, but they don't open for the timid or the ones who wait for permission. They open for those who persist, who keep showing up even after the no's, who treat every setback as a stepping stone, not a tombstone. Rejection is not the end of your story. It's the beginning of refinement. Every no sharpens your approach, tests your resolve, and polishes your skills. Without a few tough lessons, you wouldn't appreciate the wins nearly as much. The sweetest victories are the ones you had to fight for. The ones where you got up, brushed off the dust, and tried again with a wiser mind and a stronger spirit. What happens when you persist? The scales start to tip in your favor. Where you used to hear only criticism, you now find clues. Where you once saw a closed door, you notice a window. The world is always looking for those willing to do what others avoid. Those who will weather the storms, learn from the losses, and keep their eyes on the horizon. The person who can sell themselves, who can stand up after a setback, who can stay true to their mission when the applause fades, who keeps refining instead of retreating, that person is unstoppable. Because the real reward isn't just in the sale, the applause, or the recognition. The real reward is in who you become along the journey. You start with fear, but you end with freedom. Freedom from worrying what others might think. Freedom from shrinking at every no. Freedom from the limits you once believed were set in stone. That's what persistence buys you. The right to walk into any room, any opportunity, and know that rejection can't touch your worth. It can only shape your wisdom. So as you go forward, remember this. Your greatest resource is not your product, your pitch, or your resume. It's your willingness to keep showing up, to keep learning, to keep believing that something good lies on the other side of every no. Rejection is not a verdict. It's a lesson. Let it refine you, never define you. Because once you sell yourself on your own potential, there's no limit to how far you can go. We'll be right back.